We had an eventful trip last week on our time away. We went down to North Carolina, South Carolina, Virginia, and saw all that. It was nice down at the beach at Myrtle Beach. I love it down there. We go down there. But before I left here, as most of you knew, I had to go to Chambersburg Hospital because my feeding tube came out Sunday afternoon. I spent the whole afternoon over there, got back in time for church, and we took off, and that thing had enough cord on it it could hang me with it, and the top kept popping off, and it was having trouble with it. So when I got to Fayetteville, I went to the VA hospital down there, and they kept me in there about a half a day, fooling around. And of course, we had wired it up with paper ties and rubber bands and stuff like that to try to hold it. And so they put me one in, and we got down to Myrtle Beach and just had a feed and went out, was just watching the waves. And the Bible verse, out of his belly shall flow living waters, out it came. So there we were in Myrtle Beach. So we was running around trying to find the hospital and asking people, and we finally got there. And I love that guy. He said, you'll be out of here in 45 minutes. And the last guy didn't put it in right, didn't inflate the tube behind, and so we got it in. So far, it has held. And he was true to his word. I got out of there. But it was a eventful trip, to say the least. But good to be back here in God's country. We'll bring a message today about how pleased and how happy we ought to be the children of God. God has given us something that's very special. I preach about the terrible stuff that's going on, and we don't have much good to say about that. Everything we get from the political view and our news media is all bad. So, but the good news is we got a better hope. We got a better calling. We got a better promise from God. Amen? And I'm looking forward to that. He said in that last verse that Brother Ed read to you, that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. We're to be God's praising people. We're not to be downcast. We're not to be shrinking and pulling back because of all this badness. We're to be to God's praise. And how are we going to do that if we don't get out and assemble ourselves as a church? They're telling us not to do it, but we do it anyway. And so we're happy for that. The title I've chosen, we're his chosen. Think about that for a moment. God chose you before the foundation of the world to be his child and to be the praise of his glory. Before God made all the stuff that he made, all the beautiful mountains, or all the animals and the flowers and the trees, all of that, God thought about you and how he would create you. That is overwhelming, is it not? And that's your sole purpose in life. Everything else that you do is to support that, to be to the praise of his glory. We think about the foreknowledge of God to do his will there in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5, where he said, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. It's God's will. Those that are not saved, it was God's will for every one of them to be a child of God. Every soul in hell, God chose them to be one of his children, because he says in the Bible, it's not the will of God that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God wants everybody to be saved. God wants everybody to be his child, and he wants us to be the praise of his glory. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, it says, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood." You know, the job of the priest in the Old Testament was to tell the people what God wanted them to hear. God said, now that we've made the church, we're to be God's priest. That's why we have Sunday school. That's why we have Bible study, to know what we're supposed to tell people. We're to be God's messengers. That's our job. But you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. They want to know what all these people doing coming to this country. They want to bring their gods and their idols with them. But we're to having the opportunity to give them the voice of God and of Jesus Christ. We're a peculiar people. That's why the world can't stand us. You know why people don't like to come to church? People like to go everywhere, but say, I don't really like to go to church, because they don't want to hear from God. First thing, God says, you're my child, I want you to straighten up. And to the unsaved, he says, I want you to get saved. I want you to not be a heathen. And people don't want to hear that. That's why they don't. I'll come to church if you play games and do all that, but I don't want to hear all that preaching and all that Bible study about stuff, and I don't want to hear all that. That's what it is. Conviction of God pounds at your heart. We're studying in Sunday school in the book of Jeremiah. It says the gospel is like a hammer, and it thuds at your heart. He says it's like a fire. It'll burn deep into your soul. And people don't want that. They don't want to hear that. Tell me how everything's rosy-dosy. I don't want to hear about that kind of stuff you're putting out. But we're called, number 2 point there, if you're following, to give praise and glory to God. He says in verse 6, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he made us accept in the beloved. That's how we got accepted, by the grace of God. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but that which God has done in the finished work at Calvary, when Christ gave his life and was buried and rose again. Then he made us to be able to be accepted if we accept him. By his grace, that's what his grace is. Wonderful, the matchless grace of Jesus, that he gave us that right to become a child, a joint heir with Christ by his grace. Made us accepted. We've now been accepted. Our name's written down. If you're a child of God, your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. There's a place for you at the table when we go eat that supper in heaven. Think of that. There with Jesus. The Bible says that he'll feed us, and he wants us to be his child. Number 3, we think about our wonderful, priceless salvation. It couldn't be bought by anything. You can't buy your salvation. You can't do anything for it. There's not enough gold in this world. There's not enough diamonds. There's not enough riches. There's not enough works from your hands. But in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. That is, I don't know where you were, how you were, whether you were good, bad, or what you were. But me, when I got saved, such a burden was lifted, the weight and the guilt of those sins, big ones, little ones. Everything that I'd done that was contrary to God's will and to God's grace was taken off of me. It was placed on Christ at Calvary. And now he had set me free. Oh, glory. And the Bible says, if the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Praise God. Isn't that a glorious thought when you lay down at night and before you say that last prayer and go off into la-la land and sleep, to know that God has redeemed you and paid the price for your sins, accepted in Him the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. What He did on Calvary when they were driving those nails in His hands was for me and for you. And when they pierced His side, when they cursed Him, when they mocked Him, it was for me and you that we might be saved. Glory! And He wants us now to be His children. He wants us to be His accepted in the beloved. He wants us to be His messengers, to take the message for Him. We now have access to the wisdom of God. People saying, I don't know what to do. Well, you need to go to church and listen to the Word of God, because God says He will give you wisdom. But God doesn't come down. He's already went to the cross. He's already given the invitation. He's not going to come and pound on you all the time. He simply stands back. He's given the knock and says, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He wants you to come. Ephesians 1:8, wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and providence. He wants to give it. If the world needs anything, if we need anything, we need wisdom. We need wisdom to understand what the will of God is for us. We need to understand what's right and wrong. Tell me, Pastor Raj, what's wrong with this gay lifestyle? Tell me what's wrong with transvestite. Tell me all about that. He didn't come the first time to condemn that. He came to pay the price for that. He will come with His redemption when He comes again in the second coming of Christ, when He rides that white horse in and all the evil and all the dirt and all the stuff that man has done to corrupt God's beautiful creation. And by the way, the most beautiful creation of God is you. Everything else was just fixings for the picture that God would show the world, His people redeemed in Him. Verse 17 of chapter 1, Ephesians, says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, who hath given unto you the Spirit of wisdom. You see that, church? And the revelation in the knowledge of Him. So God wants you to know. You can know. It's like anything else. I go to school, didn't learn anything, but didn't open my book, didn't read my lesson. Of course not. If you want to know God, you've got to open the book. You've got to be where the book's open. You've got to listen to what God's saying. Many of our decisions that we make, and we get in a bunch of trouble that follows the rest of our life, we should have followed the wisdom of God. He's our wisdom. He's our guidepost. Years ago when I was down in Panama, I don't know if you've ever been there, when we owned it, we gave it away, canal. But that canal is not straight across. It makes a lot of crooks and a lot of turns. And when they bring the ships in back then, they had to stop out here. And they would take an American captain, no matter what kind of ship it was, and he would be the pilot. And he would go in, and he would take the ship. And when it come to the first turn, if a ship's going to turn that way, they would be three lights lined up. 1, 2, 3. He had to line those lights up to make it into the canal correct. If he didn't, he would wreck the ship. God, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. You need all three to guide you in this life. You need those three things light up in your wisdom and your decision making, or else you're going to be shipwrecked. Many people are shipwrecked. Many people have wrecked their ship, some for a lifetime, because they didn't follow him. He goes on to say in the book of James, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given unto you. God says, just ask me. Just come. Get on your knees. If we humble ourselves, that verse says, he doesn't even mention prayer until we humble ourselves. We want to pray proud prayers. Lord, give me this, give me that. Lord, give me this. I want this, I want that. God, I want wisdom. So I don't misstep in my walk for you. So I don't go astray. So I go the right way, God. So I do the right thing, God. So I treat people right. So I know when to say I'm sorry. I know when to say I'm wrong. I made a mistake. Yeah. He said he giveth to all men and upbraideth not. And it shall be given him. God said that. Don't tell me you can't know. You can know anything God wants you to know if you ask him. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16, for who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. When God saved you, he placed within you the Holy Spirit, and you now have the ability to think with the mind of Christ. So if you use that mind, you can follow the wisdom of God. God said all of that. I didn't make that up. That's the Word of God. And I know it from experience in my own life. I did stupid things because I even made them after I was saved, because I didn't listen. I'd see a car and I'd think, wow, I need that car. The one I'm driving was running. Go buy that one. One bill after another. Why did I get this wreck of a car? Just a simple illustration. Be sure to ask God. Get God's wisdom in all things. And you get it by constantly being before God and before his word, when it's heard, when it's preached. Know what the will of God for us in his church. People say, well, Pastor Hodge, I can go out on the mountain after worship. No, you can't. No, you can't. God said, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. And part of that is learning how to fit in to the group of the church, to belong to the church. Mentioned the fellowship last night. We have fellowship. We have time of get-together when you can talk to one another. We have the men's Bible study. We have the ladies' Bible study. When you can get together and discuss the Word of God. Sunday school, when you can hear the talk about what the will of God is for your life. Ephesians 1:9, he said that, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to the good pleasure which he purposed in himself. He wants us with him. He wants us to get there. Then he shows us his will. It says in Romans chapter 12 that we have to present ourselves to him. When we present ourselves to him, that we may know what his perfect will is for our individual life. Where do I fit into these things? Where do I belong? What am I supposed to do? How am I supposed to do this? Romans 12:1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies, praying yourself. People say, oh, I wasn't here, but I was with you in spirit. No, you was out doing something else. You was still sleeping or whatever you were doing. I beseech you by the mercies of God that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It's not what the preacher wants alone. It's what God said you're supposed to do. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Getting saved and asking for the will of God will change your mind about a lot of things. Paul said, the things I used to hate, I now love. Things I used to love, I now hate. And anything that keeps you from meeting with God and doing the will of God is wrong. It don't have to, it's not the big sins that gets us. It's the little ones that pile up. Didn't read my Bible. Didn't go to church. Didn't do this that I promised to do. First thing you know, we got all those little things. We're saying, oh, woe is me. Transform the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's how you know. Instead of putting the bit in your mouth and going your own way, doing your own thing, and saying, I'll never do that, I don't do this, I don't. No, you don't have to do that. As I said earlier about saying I'm sorry, you don't have to say I'm sorry. You don't have to say it. One of these days, you'll wish you had it. You'll wish you had it. The people in hell are crying for another chance to relive their life. You have a chance. You have a chance. At the judgment seat of Christ, we'll lay out the stuff. They'll lay it out that you've done. All those good deeds that you thought were piling up will go up in smoke because there wasn't any of that gold, silver, and precious stone. The gold is the golden hours that you pray for the church, for God's work, for you and fitting into God's work. The silver is the silver deeds that you do for others, not for yourself, to pile up for me. And those precious stones are the ones you bring to Christ. We had some of them go downstairs. We have them here on Wednesday night. There's more of them in the streets that need to be picked up and brought, that they might be the precious stones. But that wood, hay, and stubble, all that stuff you thought was big, no, it won't amount to anything. So what do we say if we're the chosen of God? He's given us his power by the Holy Spirit and his word, the Bible. In Ephesians 1:19-23. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe according to the working of his mighty power? God doesn't have, listen, why is things so bad in Washington, Harrisburg, wherever else? Because God's people. I'm not getting involved. It's too hard. People don't appreciate what you do. I know. They didn't appreciate him either. They took him out and hanged him on a tree when he was trying to give them. He said, for which one of the good things I've done are you beating me? The world, the Bible says, all that live holy shall, all that live godly shall suffer persecution. If you're looking for an easy ride to heaven, don't get on this train. No, don't get on this train. We've been studying Jeremiah. They threw him down the pit, left him down there to rot. And he was, when they pulled him out, the ropes under his armpits, they pulled him up, where the flesh was just ripping off, the Bible says. But he went on and gave him the same message they didn't want to hear. So they threw him back in again. God's exceeding power. How did he do it? He had God's power. God's power enabled him to do that. That power, verse 20 says, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him on his own right hand in heavenly places. Just think, when we get there and lay those crowns that we've been given at his feet and praise him, and praise him. Far above all principality. That word principality is a word that means extremely great power. They use power, but principalities above power. Satan's demons have some of that kind of power. Satan has that power. Satan, we're no match for Satan. That's why we need Jesus. Nobody's in, if I'd have been evil, oh, you don't know what you've done. The devil knows where your weakest spot is. He knows how to get you. He knows what you yearn for. He knows what you plead for. He knows what your direction goes. Far above, but we'll be above that. And the power and the might and the dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Glory. We're just called to be his glory. We're just called to fit in. Just find where we fit in. And he's put all things under his feet and gave to him, Jesus Christ, to be the head over all things to the church. The church. No, God didn't say go on the mountain and worship. Oh yeah, pray when you're out there. But when the church bell ring, and by the way, when the church bell ring, it's a time to shut those doors. And when the piano starts playing, and hush the conversation, and every eye and every pew turn towards what's God going to say through the song. Be attentive to God. Some of us don't get anything out of it because we don't give ourselves. Give me your undivided attention, God says. Not here, there, this, that, oh yeah, 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 I went to church. No. Speak to me, Lord. Give me your wisdom. Give me your understanding. I want that. I want to know that. Which is his body. Talking about the church. The body of Christ is the church. The fullness of him that filleth all in all. God wants to meet every one of your needs. And God will meet everyone emotionally, spiritually, financially, what you need to eat, where you need to live, how you need to be clothed. God wants to help fulfill all of that in your life. He wants you in the center of his love and to be a part of his work. He saved you, and that's the only reason you're here. We saw a friend, one of the reasons Charlotte went down. We may never see her again. She's 90 years old. She don't look 90. But she said, I don't know. God must still have something for me to do. I said, yes, he does. That's why you're here. As long as you're on this earth as a Christian, God's got something for you to do. And that's to be a part of his church, to be his part of his wisdom, and to be a light to some poor soul in darkness. Someone out there, listen to this, is waiting. They don't know they're waiting. They're waiting for just you. You are the only person that will persuade them that they need Christ. You have the gift of God and the wisdom of God to persuade them. There are no accidental meetings in this life. They're all. And you know, I told you before, three times I was in the hospital. Three times I got to witness. Three times. Does God want to turn me upside down and shake me again? I don't necessarily relish it, but I want to please him. I want to go where we sang that song. I'll do what you want me to do. I'll say what you want me to say. Do we really mean it? Do we really mean it? And sometimes when I pray it before I go to sleep, I think, am I being sincere? I don't relish the idea being poked on. Going down to Pittsburgh on Friday. I know the drill. Stick out your hand. Put the bracelet on. Step on the scales. How tall are you? Same. One lady said, you sound like you know what to do. I said, lady, I've been through this. Then they hand you a bag, and they say, I said, I know, take everything off. Everything. 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 Take everything off, put it in the bag, get on the bed, stick out your arm. Oh, you got to put on that little gown. I don't know why they put it on. It don't cover anything. And you're hanging out in the back, and everybody's looking. It's okay. This is the world. I have a robe of righteousness given me by Him. Praise God. Amen. Got to go through it again. I don't relish that. Then an anesthesiologist comes by and says, you ever had anesthesia before? I said, you've done it here to me about 25 times. Okay. Does it have any ill effect? I said, puts me right to sleep, and I wake up. It's over. And he said, okay. Open your mouth. It's as wide as you can get. Yeah. We'll get it in there. We'll take care of you. We'll bring you back here. We're going to put a tube down into your lungs so we don't want you to die while you're in there. I said, I understand. Can we say, will you sign this piece of paper and say it's okay? Yep. So if I die, I sign the paper. Right? Go through it every time. I could do it. I could stand there and do His job. Yeah? God wants you to be a part of His work. And hit and miss don't get it. You know? My wife mostly raised a garden for many years. And I'd go away from a meeting or didn't check the garden out. I'd go back and the weeds would be up that high. Oh, get rid of the weeds again. Get the potatoes looking good. 2 or 3 days. Oh, let's go see so-and-so and so-and-so. Come back and the weeds are up again. That's where your life is. That's where your life is. You're letting the weeds grow up. You got to keep getting cultivated by God's Holy Spirit. Breaking the dirt out. Keeping the good stuff in. Amen. You're chosen. Think of that. You've been chosen. I keep getting these messages on my phone. Trump wants me to be with him. Be Trump's guest. Come be his guest. Going to give you a football signed by Trump. You know, that'd be wonderful. But something more wonderful. I'm a guest of Jesus Christ in heaven. On that yonder shore, I will meet him. He will put the robe on me. I'm one of his. I'm chosen. If you're saved, so are you. And your responsibility is no less than mine. Amen. Let's stand. Almighty God and Heavenly Father, we thank you for the divine, holy, blessed privilege that we have of being a child of God, called unto his service, called unto his work for his glory. Lord, help us to do it. The world is mad, is fighting. The devil tries to get among us and pit us against one another. Help us, God, to keep our eyes on Jesus, to walk with him, to do his blessed will. Oh, God, I pray as the piano plays softly, head bowed, eyes closed. If you need him, the altar's extended to you. Just come. If you need to lay your burdens down, if you've never been saved, he said, he that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. So if you've never been saved, if you come and ask Jesus in a simple childlike prayer, just admit that you're a sinner, Lord. I'm a sinner. The Bible says all of sin and come short of the glory of God. But I believe Jesus died for me. The Bible said he did. By his great love, he gave himself. And the Bible said, whosoever believeth in him shall be saved. And he wants to do that right now. If you've never trusted him, would you just raise your hand and say, I'd like to pray that prayer and accept Christ as my Savior. Simple childlike prayer. Dear Lord, in the best way I go how, I trust you. I'm a sinner. I confess that. I believe in Jesus. If you're doing it, you want to talk about it later, we'll do that because God loves you. Okay, we're going to sing what number? Huh? 805. The altar's still open if you need to come.
God sent his son, they called him Jesus. He came to love, heal and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know life is worth the living just because he lives. How sweet to hold a newborn baby and feel the pride and joy he gives. But greater still, child can face uncertain days because he lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know
said amen. Because it is. The remarks I made about getting in church and all that. Hey, if you want to visit with people, stay after church as long as you want. If you're the last one out, turn the lights out and lock the door and come early. Spend as much time. But when we start having church, let's have church. Right? To God be the glory. All right. Brother Edward, you have our closing prayer.